This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. All eyes on town meeting day today, but there is another big election on the horizon. Parties will choose their candidates for governor in an August primary, with the general election in November. So it's still early, but the race is starting to take shape. And here to give us an update on what it looks like at the moment is VPR's Peter Hirschfeld. Hi, Pete.
Happy town meeting day, Jane.
Happy town meeting day to you, too. Candidates technically have until May 31st to file their official candidacies, but several are already raising money, trying to get their message out, have said officially, I am in the race. Just tick them off for us.
Well, on the Republican side, we, of course, have incumbent Governor Phil Scott. So far, Phil Scott has one primary challenger. His name is Keith Stern. And we have three Democrats so far who have entered their party's primary. We have longtime environmental advocate James Ellers, former Vermont utility CEO Christine Hallquist, and a 13-year-old from Bristol named Ethan Sonneborn.
All right, let's go through each of those and talk a little bit about what they represent, what they're trying to put forward, where they stand in this. And first of all, the Republican governor, the incumbent Phil Scott, he's officially said he's going to reapply for the job?
He has not officially said that, but barring some kind of personal or family tragedy, Phil Scott will almost certainly run for reelection. Vermont governors have a long history of being pretty coy about their reelection plans.
Yes.
In part because it befits an incumbent to have a short campaign period as possible. But I think we can certainly expect Phil Scott to be on the ballot in November.
Yeah, Governor Shumlin always said, I think that the Vermonters want me to do the business of the governor, not the business of campaigning. But at some point, you got to do the business of campaigning.
And Peter Shumlin said, we can talk about the election after Labor Day.
All right. Well, that's a little bit late. So do you think Phil Scott is vulnerable to a pickoff? You mentioned he already has a challenger.
So if you survey the electoral landscape for Phil Scott, by any objective read, it's tough to find weak spots at this point. First of all, Vermont tends not to oust its incumbent governors. It's been more than 50 years since that happened. Secondly, Phil Scott won the last race, which is the last good marker we have, by a landslide. It was 9 points. And for a Republican governor in a state that has, in recent history, at least tended to lean Democratic, that's a pretty big number. We also have some national polling we can look at from a firm called Morning Consult. They did a national survey of individual states back in January. And according to their survey, 63% of Vermonters approve of the job that Phil Scott's doing and only 21% disapprove. It makes him the fourth most popular governor in the country, according to this poll. So that's a pretty strong marker for him as well.
Maybe we should have saved that for the end. It's sort of taken the wind out of the sails of talking about all the challengers now.
Well, with all that said, I think the one thing all of us in this business have learned in the last 18 months or so is that don't assume anything. And I think nobody will be heading into November.
All right. Well, then let's talk about the Republican challenger currently in the race and hoping to unseat Phil Scott in the primary. This is Keith Stern. But Pete, didn't he tell you he was going to switch parties and run as a Democrat?
It was an odd series of rather quick turnabouts for Keith Stern. Last summer, he announced that he was running for governor as a Republican. Then Keith Stern said that after some soul-searching was the word he used, that he changed his mind and said he was going to be running as a Democrat. And then he changed his mind again and said that he'd be running as a Republican after all. I think Keith Stern realized that the ideological views that he brings to the table probably have more purchase among the Republican base than the Democratic one.
And what are those?
Well, Keith Stern talks a lot about tax policy generally, but what's interesting is that of late we have seen him seize on the issue of gun legislation. And I think he sees a potential weakness for Phil Scott, given his new embrace of restrictions on gun ownership. We saw Keith Stern head out to a gun show in Rutland on Saturday. His campaign is selling bumper stickers now that say ammo sexual as a fundraising tactic. He's selling them for $5 a piece. And he says Phil Scott has really pulled the rug out from under the Republican Party by changing his views so quickly and so unexpectedly on the issue of gun control, especially without reaching out to the people Keith Stern says that this issue matters to most. Political candidates have historically paid a pretty steep political price in Vermont for coming out in support of new gun control laws. One of the more interesting threads to follow in 2018 is whether that tradition holds in this sort of post-Parkland, post-Fairhaven political environment that we now find ourselves in.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned that Keith Stern also talks a lot about taxes and fiscal policy, and another challenger to Phil Scott also talks about fiscal policy. And we're moving over to the Democrats now. Christine Hallquist says she's a fiscal conservative, and she actually voted for Governor Scott in the past. So who's Christine Hallquist?
Christine Hallquist was, until very recently, the CEO of the Vermont Electric Cooperative, and she's made a name for herself in Vermont in the utility sector, where she says she's worked hard to decarbonize the grid and the territory that her utility services. She says that's an experience that has also proven her leadership skills. And she says it's her leadership that really defines her as a candidate. She says that's what the state needs right now is a steady hand, somebody with a vision for the state that can pull people toward it. And she says she had an epiphany at the Women's March earlier this year, was inspired by the Me Too movement that was calling on more women to get involved in politics. And she said it was time for her to heed that call and jump into the race.
Christine Hallquist is also getting some national attention and extra focused attention because if elected, she would be the country's first openly transgender governor.
She would be. She'd also be, we should probably know, only the second female governor in Vermont history. Christine Hallquist was very public about her transition back in 2015. I think she kind of took that on as a responsibility. And I'd wager that more Vermonters know her name because of that than because of the work she's done in the utility sector. But while Hallquist doesn't at all shy away from the fact that she is a transgender woman, she does not want it to singularly define her candidacy. She says, really, it's her leadership skills that people will be drawn to. And what she says is her unparalleled plan to stimulate the rural economy in Vermont.
She's going to have to fight against at least two currently declared Democrats in the primary, and environmental activist James Ellers is one of them. How is he differentiating himself from Christine Hallquist? And he entered before she did, but what are the differences?
Yeah, so James Ellers is very much styling himself as a Bernie Sanders Democrat. He talked very early on about the need to increase taxes on wealthier Vermonters in order to support increased public investment in government institutions. James Ellers says Vermont needs more money for clean water. Vermont needs more money for a stronger social safety net. He's even said that he's open to things like a guaranteed minimum income in Vermont. And he says the state needs to get that money by asking rich people who are doing really well to pay more. Christine Hallquist, as you mentioned, says she's more of a fiscal conservative. Now, to be clear, she says she supports universal health care. She supports a $15 minimum wage, wants to get fiber to every rural community in Vermont. But she says she doesn't favor using increased revenues to get there and that she would only raise taxes on Vermonters as a last resort. She said, look, there's a lot of things we need to do, but she said she doesn't think that Vermont should be spending more money to do it. Reform, she says she's all for that. Spending more money, she's not.
There is, Pete, another Democrat in the race who we should talk about, and this is 13-year-old Ethan Sonneborn. Now, Vermont has no age restrictions for statewide office, and Sonneborn quips that if the president can tweet like a kindergartner, why shouldn't he be able to run and become a governor? What are his positions?
Well, Ethan is a great Twitter follow, by the way, if you're looking for one, and a precocious political talent at that, whose run for governor has gotten some pretty serious ink in places like Newsweek, for instance. Sonneborn uses the term practical progressivism to describe his approach to the issues and says he favors tax increases on higher income Vermonters, for example, to lighten the tax burden on the middle class. What Ethan Sonneborn has said, though, is that while he's in it to win it, what he's really looking to do in this process is engage young people in the democratic process. He says he doesn't see the issues and interests that his generation is focused on represented very well in the current class of political office holders, and he's really hoping that his campaign can begin to change that.
Any sense yet of who is likely to get the backing of establishment Democrats?
No. And the Vermont Democratic Party has done a pretty good job in the past of trying not to play favorites in the primary process. So both of the candidates look to have support with different elements of the Democratic base.
And these are, of course, just the major party candidates who have already declared we're likely to see at least some other candidates in the governor's race, right, Pete?
Yeah, it's a long time between now and the filing deadline, and it's absolutely possible we could see more entrants here. I haven't heard a lot of chatter in the political rumor mill of late about specific candidates. The Progressive Party, of course, is always a big question mark. They did not field a candidate on the gubernatorial ballot in 2016, and we'll have to keep an eye on them to see what their plans are for the 2018 race.
Peter Hirschfeld covers state government out of our Montpelier bureau. Pete, thanks very much.
Great to be with you.